Hey, good morning, folks. It is a brand new week of your life. Monday, the second best day of the week, is underway. Let me ask you a question. Do you know Jesus' last recorded words on earth? Any guesses? How about this? But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. On today's podcast, we're going to talk about the book of Acts as part of the Everything Bible Study, and we're going to get started in just a second. What a gorgeous day here. Underway this morning. They're calling for over 1 inch of rain this afternoon, though. So, Southwest Virginia. Right now, the sun is coming up. And it's really foggy. We've just had a beautiful weekend here. But we had a terrible storm blow through overnight. I spent the better part of an hour this morning picking up my deck. Had debris everywhere, leaves and little branches and twigs, and even blew my birdhouse around. That must have been some wild wind, and I never heard a thing. I remember when I was in college, my dorm room, the first year I was in college, my dorm room, there was the fire alarm bell was literally right above my door, like on the outside in the hallway. And we used to have fire drills. I would sleep through the fire drills. I once my head hits the pillow, I'm out like a light. And I'm hoping the rapture occurs during the middle of the day and not in the middle of the night, because if the trumpet sounds in the nighttime, I'm afraid I'm going to sleep through it. I just don't hear anything. Hope you all had a good weekend. It's true. I don't hear a word. I hope you all had a good week, and I hope you all had good services on Sunday. We sure did. We're missing a lot of people. People are still vacating. We had 4 families in Florida this past weekend. 4 families in Florida. Oh, we weren't one of them. We stayed. I'm going to be taking some time off in, I think it's the last week of September. We're going to head to a beach, but we have to wait for then. Okay, we're looking at the book of Acts on the Everything Bible Study. We finished it up a couple weeks ago, the live version, Wednesday nights. We're now finished Bible study until the second week of September. We're going to start up again. But we're still carrying along here. So Acts chapter 1, verse 8, the last recorded words of Jesus on the earth. And we call that the Great Commission. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and in Samaria, and the ends of the earth. And the book of Acts is really simply the story of the men and women who took that Great Commission seriously and began to spread the good news of a risen Savior to the most remote corners of the known world at that time. The book itself, the book of Acts, divides up into 3 sections, which we'll talk about later on. Section 1 would be chapters 1 through 7. Section 2 would be chapters 8 through 12. And the third section would be chapters 13 through 28. With each section focusing on a particular audience, a main personality and let's call it a significant phase in the expansion of the gospel message. The book of Acts itself is the second volume in a two-volume work written by Dr. Luke. And originally, it probably had no title. The best available Greek manuscript designates it by the title of Acts, simply put. That Greek title was commonly used in Greek literature to summarize the accomplishments of outstanding men. So the book of Acts, as far as the Greeks were concerned, is a collection of outstanding accomplishments of men of God, the book of Acts. While the apostles are mentioned collectively at several points in the book is really about the Acts of Peter, the first 12 chapters, and Paul, chapters 13 to 28. They make up the bulk of the book. Now let's look at the first couple verses in the first chapter. We'll talk about the authorship of the book here. It starts off, "In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen." Now, in our study of the Gospel of Luke, we covered the internal and external support for Luke's authorship of both the books. So I want to cover that today. Throughout the "we" sections of the book of Acts, Luke's source is himself. So there are portions of the book of Acts where Luke is writing, is participating in what's going on. Let's give you just an example. Let's see, the "we" sections include Acts chapter 16, verse 10 to 17, Acts chapter 20, verses 5 to 21, Acts chapter 27 to Acts chapter 28, verse 16. Those are the famous "we" sections where Luke writes as though he's participating in the events, which he was. For the remainder of the book of Luke, Luke no doubt followed the same careful investigative procedures that he used in writing his gospel. He investigated the stories carefully, tracked down the eyewitnesses to the things that happened. Luke was a close friend and traveling companion of the Apostle Paul, and he had access to the principal eyewitnesses for over half of the book. It's also likely that during his travels, Luke had opportunities to interview such key witnesses in Jerusalem as folks like Peter and John and some of the other apostles and disciples for the information in Acts chapters 1 through 12. Now, most Bible scholars agree and suggest that the book of Acts was written sometime around 62 AD, or at least in the very early 60s. The book itself ends abruptly, which has led many to believe that Luke ended his history with Paul simply awaiting trial in Rome. Now, if it was written after this crucial event, why didn't Luke mention the outcome of the trial? Now, of course, Luke may have had his reasons, but the obvious explanation is that Paul was still alive when Luke ended the book of Acts. And Acts gives no hint of the persecution of the Christians under Nero in the mid-60s, or Paul's death in the late 60s, or the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. So for those reasons, it's highly likely that Luke wrote Acts in the early 60s AD. So we're talking 30 years after the death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus. The resurrected Savior is the central theme of all the sermons recorded in the book of Acts and the various defenses recorded in the book of Acts. The Old Testament references to the event, the historical resurrection, the apostolic testimony, and the convicting power of the Holy Spirit all bear witness that Jesus is both Lord and Christ. So whether it's Peter's stirring sermons, or Paul's various defenses of his faith, or the stories about the miraculous interventions and healings throughout the book of Acts, this book leaves no doubt that this Jesus, who died and rose again and ascended to heaven, is, present tense, is alive and was working through the members of the church to spread the good news. So really, it's the book of Acts, but it's the Acts of the risen Lord in the church of Jesus, in the church. Right? The book of Acts is the story of the Acts of the risen Lord through the members of the church as the gospel spread all over the world. Speaking about that, the key theme in the book of Acts is the growth of the church. And when you read through the book of Acts, my wife and I did it not too long ago. We read a few chapters of the Bible a night or in the evening. And we did the book of Acts not too long ago, in the early summer, late spring. And I was struck again by the phenomenal growth of the church. It was stunning how quickly the gospel spread throughout the known world. And if you're just reading in the book of Acts, I mean, it's just incredible how bold and fearless those first century Christian evangelists were. And how quickly the gospel was accepted by people. It's the exact opposite today, generally speaking, especially in America, where, up until recent years, just about everybody was familiar with Bible stories, and just about everybody had gone to church as a child. And those are people that are very difficult to witness to. Have you ever noticed that? People that are familiar with the Bible stories, people that went to church as children and went to Sunday school and whatever, those are the people that are really difficult to get back in church as adults. They didn't have that problem in the early church. This was brand new. It was unique. Nothing like this had ever existed in all the world. So I think that the early church, one of the reasons why it grew so quickly and why the gospel was accepted, apparently without reservation so quickly, was the fact that it was new. They hadn't become hardened to it. Here in America, that's probably one of the biggest problems we face, is the fact that Americans are, they've become hardened to the things of God and to the Word of God. It's all around them. They can watch it on TV. They can listen to it on the radio. They can stream it online. And so it's really, really difficult for that reason to get people physically into the church, especially after the events of last year where, so many of our so many members or attendees of the church found that they could, just sit around at home on their sofa, watching sermons and so on. And that's, of course, not what the church is all about. That's the purpose of the church is for Christians to fellowship together and to gather together. And as I say, that was a huge deal to the early church. And as I say, one of the reasons why it just spread like wildfire was that there was for the first time ever, there was a community of believers that assembled together on a regular basis, where folks who were struggling, being persecuted either softly or with serious persecution, could gather together and find the encouragement they needed to carry on. I was reading the, headlines today when I got up this morning about all these church fires in Canada. And they're spreading down into the States now. A lot of churches are being burned that kind of thing going on in the States. Sorry, I forgot to turn my notifications off on my phone there. I think we're entering a dark age, or we've already entered a dark age in the Western world where our freedom as Christians, I think, is going to be severely curtailed. It already has been. Last year demonstrated that. You know, it showed the state that the Christians were willing to give up fellowshipping together, you know, without a fight. At any rate, I don't want to dwell on that. My point is that it's entirely possible. A friend of mine, we were talking about this at church yesterday. It's entirely possible that where so many churches have struggled over the past decades to get people into church, to get them physically into church, it's entirely possible that it's going to become much easier now, because the church has always thrived during times of persecution and tyranny. It has always grown exponentially during those difficult periods of history. And if I'm right, and we have entered into like a new dark age, I think we're going to see an explosion in the Church of Jesus Christ in the Western world, in America particularly. I think we're going to see massive revivals. Well, I think we already see it in many locations. People are Christians, are finding their way back to normal fellowship. And it's wonderful to see. So I think, as I said, one of the reasons for the extensive growth of the church and the rapid growth of the church in the book of Acts was the fact that there was the tip of the spear of some major persecution. Now, there are four accounts. I'm going to get back to my notes here. There are four accounts of the life of Jesus, four Gospels. But the book of Acts is the only book that carries on the story from his ascension to the period of the New Testament letters. So Acts, for that reason, is viewed as the historical link between the Gospels and the Epistles. Because of Luke's very strong emphasis on the work of Holy Spirit, this book could very well be considered the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the Apostles, or the Acts of the risen Jesus through the Apostles. Dr. Luke's not just a doctor, but he was a missionary, and he had an interest in the spread of the gospel, and that's clearly reflected in what he has written in his book of history. He was personally involved as a participant of this great story, not just as an observer. So it's not written from a detached point of view. From a theological standpoint, the book of Acts was written to trace the development of the body of Christ over the one generation transition from a primarily Jewish to a predominantly Gentile membership. Key verses. Any guesses as to what the key verses of the book of Acts would be? Well, obviously Acts 1 verse 8. And this verse I love this verse. This is the verse that I've seen on so many, walls of Pentecostal churches and Pentecostal camps. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. Yep, the church accomplished zip, zilch, zero, nada until its members were baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit. And then, of course, Acts 2, verses 42 to 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God, get this, and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily, those who were being saved. It must have been an incredible time, those very early days in Jerusalem. Now, we know that that did not continue throughout the book of Acts. That is to say, the church continued to grow exponentially throughout the book of Acts. But the church did not always enjoy the favor of all the people throughout the book of Acts. It got to the point where, let's say, the newness began to wear off, and the Jews, the hardcore Jews, especially the religious leaders, began to resent the fact that so many of their members, you know, were jumping ship and joining the new Christian church. And the pagans began to resent the fact that these Christian groups were springing up all over their towns and, taking away, you know, sources of income in their pagan temples and so on. And that's recorded for us in the book of Acts. We can read about the jealousy that so many of the Jews and Gentiles had towards these new Christians, especially as you get into the late 60s. It's a palpable change. But that's what happens. That's what happens. The key chapter in the book of Acts. Now, there are many great stories and vignettes scattered throughout Acts. But I would say, as a Pentecostal, the second chapter of Acts must be the key chapter because it records the earth-changing events of that particular day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit finally came, the promise of the Father finally came, fulfilling Christ's promise to wait until the Spirit arrives to empower and to direct their witness. As I say, these precious first century Christians before the coming of the Holy Spirit, they did very little. But when the Spirit filled them, it's like they became totally different people, didn't they? I mean, Peter is the classic study, and we talked a little bit about this on yesterday in the video sermon. He's the study in contrasts. The man who was able to say, "You are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the Living God," would within a few hours of that confession, you basically deny Jesus three times. You know. And yet, shortly after that, shortly after his denial, he preached sermons that won literally thousands of people to Christ. He became a pillar in the church. He became a courageous missionary, taking the gospel. I mean, we say that Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles, and he was, but Peter was the first person to breach the Gentile world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. He went to Cornelius's house. He didn't want to. So, you know, Peter, when he was filled with the Holy Spirit, was filled with this incredible boldness, and he was changed. He became a changed man, but that's what the Holy Spirit does, you see. And the Holy Spirit does that today. It's no different. It's no different today than it was 2,000 years ago in the book of Acts. The Holy Spirit came to these people and transformed that small group of fearful, anxious individuals into a thriving worldwide church that was ever moving forward. And fulfilling the Great Commission no matter what they face. And that is precisely what the Holy Spirit does for Christians today. You know, we are not that far removed from our brothers and sisters in the book of Acts. We still need the power of the Holy Spirit operating in our lives. And that's why I absolutely believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I believe in the present day working of all of the gifts of the Spirit. And I believe that the Church of Jesus Christ would do well to rediscover all of the gifts of the Spirit that are mentioned throughout the New Testament. There's all kinds of them. And I don't know how you can do your work as a believer without acknowledging the supernatural empowerment and enablement of the precious Holy Spirit in your lives. And it's so unfortunate that the church has become obsessed with the gift of tongues, for example. You've got some churches that obsess to the point that's all they talk about is the gift of tongues. And then you've got other churches that are obsessed with denying the gift of tongues, when in fact all of the gifts of the Spirit, including the gift of tongues, all the gifts of the Spirit are essential if the church is to do its work. And if we have, as I suspect, entered into a new dark age, then we need the Holy Spirit working in our lives as believers more than ever before. We need courage. We need inspiration. We need the power that only comes from a life yielded to the Holy Spirit. And the amazing thing is that the Holy Spirit is inside every single Christian. Every single Christian is when they're born again, is filled up with the Holy Spirit. We just have to learn how to tap into His power. He offers it to us, but He's a gentleman. He does not force His way on us. But every single Christian listening to this podcast, if you don't already understand how badly you need the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, you need to pray about that. And you need to ask the Lord to give you an awareness of His Spirit's presence in your life, and the ability to tap into His power. He makes it available to you in the form of gifts, and all you have to do is just open yourself up and discover what gifts of the Spirit you have been given. And you'll be able to do the work of the Lord in a fresh way, in a new way, in a way that is full of power. And you will be able to bear witness for Christ like never before. Learn how to tap in to the work and the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. The Holy Spirit desires to work in your life and through your life. Let Him do that. All right. Let's call it quits for today on this gorgeous Monday morning. The sun is now burning off our fog here. It's starting to get really warm. I think it's going to be really warm before we have that inch of rain this afternoon. Look, thanks for tuning in. I really appreciate it. And as I said last week a couple of times, I think this will be the only podcast for this week. We're going to see how the week shakes out, but I got some things going on later on in the week. I don't think I'm going to have time. I've asked you good people to be praying for us, my wife and I, this week. We've got some things going on. Again, later on in the week, I will let you know what it's all about. It's nothing bad. It's all good. But we definitely are coveting your prayer, so please be in prayer for us, all right? And as we are in prayer for you, we pray for all of your needs, both my wife and I, but our prayer warriors at church. We've had a bunch of needs come in over the weekend, and we mention them by name in our church services, and we pray for you. We give as many details as you want us to give. But we like to pray for your needs. I think it's important that we pray for one another. You know, the Word of God says to pray for one another so that you may be healed, so that as we pray for you, our needs are being met. So let's bow our heads and close this podcast off in prayer. Lord, we thank you so much for allowing us the freedom to study your word together. Lord, we are so appreciative for the book of Acts. We're so thankful that Dr. Luke was able to record what he did for future generations to read. He probably had no idea that his books, his gospel and his historical account of the church would be studied thousands of years after his death. But Lord, we are empowered by what we study in the Gospel of Luke and in the book of Acts. Lord, we desire to be like that early group of Christians, full of your Holy Spirit, boldly proclaiming the gospel to a lost world. Help us to do that. Help us, Lord, to fulfill the Great Commission to the best of our abilities through the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Lord, we thank you for being a part of our lives. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. I pray a very special blessing on everybody listening to this podcast. I pray that you'd anoint their ears to hear you speaking to them throughout this day and the remainder of the week. Keep us all safe till we can meet together again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, everybody. That's it. I'm out of here. Have a great, great Monday. And we'll see you soon on the Panic Podcast.